Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free, 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. American, all the chips in the PC. It is Saturday, the 6th day of September on September already. Anno Domini 2025, and you, you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 8 minutes after the hour, we are hurtling headlong into our 37th year on the air. That's right, we just had our 36th anniversary.
Yep.
Been on the air 36 years, and
that's still longer than my first marriage.
Yep. 36 years and 3 days.
Wow.
And actually, today is our 3-month anniversary.
Yeah.
Of being on Jazz 90.1. Okay, 16 years and 3 months.
Yeah, I say not 3 months. We've been here years.
Yeah, 16 years and 3 months today.
30 lousy years.
3 of the best years of my life. Anyway, we're going to be bringing you news, views, things to choose, nothing to lose. Kick off your shoes. Don't get the blues. Have you paid your dues? Here comes the news. Google has pretty much dodged a bullet in the search antitrust case brought by the U.S. Department of Justice. More than a year ago, the DOJ secured a major victory when Google was found to have violated the Sherman Antitrust Act. The remedy phase took place earlier this year with... Never mind. There's just a joke.
Was it Sherman and Peabody?
I really like... No. There's a joke in an old movie. It's what he says... You violated the Sherman Act, and the woman says, "We're married."
Oh, bada bing, turn the wheel.
The remedy phase took place earlier this year, with the DOJ calling for Google to divest their market-leading Chrome browser, release data to competitors, and end many of its search distribution deals. Turns out, the government is getting almost none of that. The DC District Court Judge Amit Mehta ruled that Google does not have to give up the Chrome browser to mitigate its illegal monopoly in online search. The court will only require a handful of modest data and behavioral remedies, forcing Google to release some search data to competitors and limit its ability to make exclusive distribution deals. While Google has escaped the breakup, the court does intend to impose some behavioral and data remedies. The DOJ isn't getting everything it asked for here, but some of these changes could give Google's competitors a boost. Under the court's ruling, Google will still be permitted to pay for search placement. Those multi-billion dollar arrangements with Apple and Mozilla can continue, which is good news for Mozilla because they could have gone under without it.
That's most of their operating capital, isn't it? Yeah.
However, Google cannot require any of its partners to distribute Search, Chrome, Google Assistant, or Gemini. That means Google cannot, for example, make access to the Play Store contingent on bundling its other apps on phones. Google will have to share user interaction data with, and I quote, qualified competitors, end quote, at least twice. However, it won't have to share generative AI model training data or provide ongoing access to the allowed data sets. Google's search index will also be opened up to competitors, but not with the terms the DOJ wanted. The court declined to make Google provide their data on an ongoing basis. Instead, competitors will be able to access these data once at or around the time they are recognized as a qualified competitor. This will give the other search engines a boost as they work to catch up to Google, but won't put them on an equal footing. Google will have to offer its index at a price similar to others in the market. This service will be available for 5 years instead of the 10 years the DOJ wanted. Google will only have to provide organic results and can prohibit scraping or indexing of the results. In addition, the court has decided that companies syndicating Google search results can only use Google's results for 40% of their queries for the first year. That cap may go down over time, pushing companies to innovate rather than simply mirroring Google. While this ruling is pretty clear win for Google, it still technically lost the case. Google probably isn't going to just accept the monopolist label, though. The company previously said it planned to appeal the case now that it has that option. So our poll of the week at soundbites.org, that is Bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you, is Google can keep Chrome. And your choices are, phew, I search with AI now. I don't use Chrome. And wait, Google makes Chrome? So far, we've got 24 votes, and I don't use Chrome is well in the lead. And, of course, after you vote in the poll, which you can do at soundbites.org, that is bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you, you can then just give us a call at 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or toll free at 1-800-790-0415.
And a lot of people were asking beforehand, when this is one of the suggestions to the remedy, what does Google Chrome have to do with Google's search monopoly?
Well, exactly.
And why?
Well, a monopoly is a monopoly is a monopoly, right?
Yeah.
So they are a search monopoly, they are an ad monopoly, and they are a browser monopoly.
And in an interesting coincidence, the judge on the case is named Meta, which is right. Google's primary competitor in the ad business.
Right. Except it's spelled M-E-H-T-A instead of just M. Right. But, yeah, and it should be interesting. What's interesting is that Google is still apparently allowed to pay Apple $20 billion with a B dollars a year.
Rumored.
To be,
I don't think it's ever been confirmed.
Rumored.
Yeah.
To be the search engine that Siri uses. So every time Siri says, I found this on the web, they're actually saying, I found this at Google.
And then when you open Safari, it defaults to Chrome. Although you can pick any other search engine you want.
And that was part of Google's argument.
Yeah.
In every browser on the planet, no matter who they pick as a default, you can change it.
Yeah. And the Google Apps things, I get annoyed that every time I install like Gmail app, it says, hey, do you want to get all my other apps too? And I just say no. I didn't know that Google required the other apps to come along, because that's not how it works on the Apple platform.
It's not how it works on any platform.
By them not needing to do that anymore, it doesn't hurt.
where it is required is, so for example, if you are Samsung and you use Android, you put all of Google's apps on the phone before you sell it to a customer. Now, they don't have to be the default.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, on Samsung, they are not.
Yeah.
Which is a problem for people who move from a Samsung phone to a Google Pixel. Because the
messages and text are all on the other program.
Right. So that's an issue. But this ruling doesn't mean nearly as much as some people would have liked. It's certainly more than Google wants, because they are going to, they say they're going to contest it, but...
And their stock dipped a little bit.
Yeah, like 3%, like that. Well, 3% is still quite many millions of dollars, but it's still just 3%. You know, it's not that much.
It might be a little overvalued anyway, because $235 a share.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, but we'll see. They're still making a great browser. They're making the search engine is still number one. Of course, they have a different problem with search, which is that a lot of people are now using AI to do searching. And Google doesn't make money off of AI searches because there are no ads.
Mm-hmm. And the other concern is if Google had to get rid of Chrome, so what? Because they make Chromium. So what would happen to the Chromium developers? It's like 90% of the Chromium developers work for Google.
I still like DuckDuckGo when I do any searching.
For searching, yeah.
Because otherwise I wind up with more stupid damn ads if I use a Google to search for stuff, then you're inundated. Whereas by using DuckDuckGo...
There is a website called... Come on. Show me the thing here. UT, I don't have it here. Where is it? Somewhere, UT something. Search engines. UDM14.com.
Or .org.
No, I think it's .com. Yep, UDM14.com.
.org got recommended to me, let's see.
And what it does... Yeah, you can't really say that on the air.
Thanks to Cory Doctorow for inventing that word.
Exactly right. You can't say that. We can't say that word on the air, but there's this word in the subtitle. And if you add ampersand UDM equals 14 to any Google search, it removes all the ads.
Cool.
And the AI overview. So it goes back to what Google always was.
Okay.
So UDM14.com, you type in your query, and it sends it to Google with that addition for you.
So you don't get all the
ads and everything. Right,
cool.
Right. So you don't get all the ads and stuff. So you know, people are finding ways around it, and Google, you know, I agree. DuckDuckGo is amazing, but Google still has the biggest and best indices on the planet.
True, true.
And the when you get to the actual search results, they are better.
Mm-hmm.
They are more spot on. And that's why people continue to use Google. I mean, it's just there's no other reason. That's the reason.
And if you want to see it from the other side, the EFF has updated their Panopticlick software, coveryourtracks.eff.org.
Right.
That will test your browser to see how unique it is in the world.
And it's not.
It's not.
Spoiler
Never.
Alert.
So there are so many things your browser tells the other end. What browser it is you know, the basic thing. But what size your screen is, what fonts you have installed, what plugins you have installed, if you're blocking ads, it knows. There are so many things that make your browser unique that even if you try to block one thing, there's 100 other things they can track you by.
Right. It's basically a fingerprint.
Yeah.
For your computer, your specific computer. And they may not know it's you.
But
they know it's a specific computer. And they can then feed ads to that specific computer.
Yep.
They don't know you, but they know that computer searched for X.
So my computer is unique among 345,000 computers tested in the last 45 days. And provides 18 bits of identifying information, which is a lot.
Which is a lot.
And then it will go through and tell you what those 18 bits are. And it's, oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Why is my browser telling them this?
Right. So I tend to do. So, for example, when you use something like Facebook, right, it does this. It takes all that information so it knows you're you. So I use a different browser to browse to browse Facebook. It would be better if I used an entirely different computer. But different browser is at least a little
something.
For some reason, my screen size is 1496 by 778.
Very nice.
Which is unique.
Yes.
I don't remember setting it to that, but okay.
Okay. And if you go look at it, is it indeed that?
Let me see. Well, no, because I have a couple of. So that shows your window size, not your screen size.
I was about to say.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a difference there. Yeah.
So if I make my. Because my window could be 2 or 3 pixels wider, and then it would be unique differently.
Exactly right.
Well,
what am I running my display at?
So, yeah.
1512 by 982.
Have you posted that?
Yeah.
Those two links?
Yep.
Yeah, there we go. So you can go to our website at soundbites.org. And get a link to UDM14 and also to the EFF tracker tester. All right. While you do that, we will go to the phones. Our first caller is Ed from Ithaca, New York. What's up, Ed?
Good morning, guys, and happy anniversary.
Thank you so much.
That's great to hear you all every week. Last week, I called about a problem with internal speakers, the microphone, rather. And so I, on your advice, deleted the black hole, whatever that was, alternative, and everything works fine now. So thank you very much for that.
So it was probably trying to send audio to that thing you didn't have connected anymore.
Yeah. So I have a question about Windows 10 extensions. How will Microsoft know from my account, my rewards account, whatever, what PC to attach those awards to and therefore continue for Windows 10.
The PC you redeem them on.
Right. So, again, looking back at every computer is unique,
mm-hmm.
it will know which computer you selected.
Okay. So, it's not a matter of the where the account was set up originally. It's a matter of where I redeem them.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I believe that is accurate.
Yep.
Although you do have to connect an account in order to get the extension.
So the PC you're on has to be logged into your Microsoft account that has the points.
Right. So you do want to be logged into the same account that you're redeeming your points on.
Okay. So I will establish this account a few iterations of computers ago.
Well, as long as you're using the same account, it's okay.
Okay.
It's not, it links, okay, it links the update to the computer, but it does it through your account. So you log in with your account, and then you say, okay, I'm redeeming my points, or I'm doing one of the three things that you can do, and now I want my extension, and then it will say, okay, this user on this machine gets this extension, done.
Okay.
So I'm trying to find the exact wordage, but I think you have to use 1,000 points for each computer. Or however,
Yeah.
So if you have four computers, you need 4,000 points.
Well, and you can get them by using Bing for search,
mm-hmm.
by paying $30, or by using...
Backup your settings.
Your settings, and that's all you have to back up.
Right, you don't have to back up your files, just your settings.
OneDrive.
Yeah.
To OneDrive. And so you only get 5 gig on OneDrive. That's more than enough for your settings.
Okay. And is OneDrive part of the computer, or do I have to establish an account there?
It uses your same Microsoft account. It's another service from your Microsoft account.
Right. If OneDrive is not already on your computer, you can install it from the Microsoft Store.
And there's so many people complain that the last Windows update installed OneDrive for them and moved their entire home folder to OneDrive.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and then it'll complain because you're running out of space because it's
you only get five gigs.
And it backs up everything on your hard drive, and all of a sudden, well, you got to pay for more storage. Well, what a gimmick.
Yeah. Well, but in this case, you only have to back up your settings, and there's setting for that to do that. And I believe it also backs up your registry. But even on a big machine, that's only 2 gig. So the biggest I've seen is 2.5 gig. So you're under your 5 gig limit. So that's not really a problem.
And Microsoft has said that enrollment will be available to any Windows 10 machine running Windows 10 22H2 through the Windows update in your settings by October 14th.
Right.
Most people are saying they don't have it in their settings yet.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But so.
But it is rolling out theoretically.
So October 14th is the deadline of when they're going to stop supporting Windows 10. So it will be the second Tuesday in November when the first bugs come out that won't be fixed.
Yep.
So you have a couple of weeks to do the Windows 10 extended security updates.
Okay.
If you either can't or don't want to do Windows 11.
Yeah, the Bing search is probably the easiest thing.
Yeah, you have to do a lot of them, but that's easy. I mean, every once in a while, search for a celebrity or, lyrics to a song or whatever floats your fancy at that moment, just do a search. No big deal.
Right. Okay, well, thank you so much for your help, and best wishes over the next 20 years.
Thank you so much, Ed. Have fun.
Right. You too. Bye.
Yep. I am absolutely certain that we're going to get panic calls after the 14th. But it's really, really easy to get the extension. You just do a bunch of Bing searches, or you pay $30, or you let Microsoft back up your settings to OneDrive. And that is, frankly, the easiest and fastest and simplest thing to do. It's not difficult. It's in the settings. You probably don't have it yet.
In the Windows backup settings.
Right, in the Windows backup settings.
Now, what I would expect is no one's going to notice or care, but I'm expecting Microsoft to start forcing giant, scary screens on everyone's Windows 10 machine. They already have started to.
Yeah.
You know, your machine's not going to be supported, but people are going to get these scary screens. You must upgrade to Windows 11 now, and then they do, and it makes everything horrible and slow, and because their machine isn't quite capable of it.
Well, I already got one notice.
There's compatible, and then there's you have enough to actually do it.
Well, I got a notice on the machine I just got last year that says, sorry, this machine, even though it's a brand new machine, doesn't qualify for Windows 11.
Yep.
Because of the chipset. It's like, yeah, well, I'm not going out and buying another one. Linux, thank you.
Well, exactly right. There are a lot of people saying the same thing now. A lot of people are looking at Linux because this computer is easy 10 years old. And it runs like a top. There's no question how well it runs under Linux. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, with Steve Ray, with me, Nick Francesco, and with you. It's 29 minutes after the hour. You are listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe, and we really mean it. Soundbites, right here on the truly great and truly grateful to you because we are solely member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Computer talk you can understand. More Soundbites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 35 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites, and we have Mark from Greece, New York, on the line. What's up, Mark?
Hello. How are you guys today?
Peachy. How are you?
I am super peachy.
There you go. What's up?
Yeah, I'm good. Listen, have you heard anything about the Windows update that supposedly is trashing SSDs being possibly a hoax?
I have not heard it being a hoax.
Yeah.
But there have been Windows updates that have lost all your data.
Yes.
Yeah.
I was watching a few videos this morning, and all of a sudden these people are coming up and saying that the initial Reddit post wasn't correct, and that there may have been circumstances where people were losing their hard drives anyways, and they said that both, what was the main controller company that they were talking about that was happening with? The first one, I can't remember.
I can't tell you.
Phison.
They're
I found the articles about it. Microsoft is saying it's not them, but the Phison can reproduce the issue, and they're saying maybe it is Microsoft.
Yeah, and then this is leading people to think that it's a hoax. And there's enough confusion about this as it is. Now they're adding more fuel to the fire.
Yeah, it's Microsoft update KB5063878 on August 12th.
Yeah.
Some users in Japan have reported numerous SSD and HDD failures.
Yeah, from Phison, but theoretically, that's been fixed as of like August 21st-ish. So theoretically, you know, well, the problem is nothing dies on the internet.
Right.
So, yeah, there was a problem at the beginning of August. It got fixed in the middle of August, so you're hearing about it in September.
Right. So most people just need to update to the latest version.
Right, and the theory is the latest version does not have that problem.
We hope.
And, in fact, Phison is suing about the falsified leaks.
Yeah, I heard about that, too.
Yeah, so, it is unlikely to be true.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Although, you know, there's another update coming in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Who knows?
Staying by.
It's always a new big surprise, isn't it?
It's exactly
like
right.
This morning is a present you don't want because you got socks.
Yeah.
That's right.
Well, here's one from 2 days ago in Tech Republic. I'm finding 7 days ago, 6 days ago. Microsoft insists it's not their problem. It's not their fault. PC data corruption. If you tried to copy more than 50 gigs of data with a drive that was more than 60% full.
Then they said that wasn't true, that it happened with less.
Yeah, well, you know,
yeah.
the reality is that the internet is no longer really considered to be an unimpeachable source.
Was it ever?
Probably
really.
Day two, maybe not, but day one, sure.
Yeah, the point I was making is everybody needs to just use your best judgment, keep a track on what's going on, don't believe rumors.
But make sure you have a backup just in case.
Multiple backups.
And I was going to say, backup. I back up 4 times.
Good.
You know.
Are you following the 3-2-1 rule?
Exactly.
There you go.
Exactly.
For the rest of you, the 3-2-1 rule, at least 3 backups in at least 2 different places, at least one of which is offline.
I actually back up to my brother's house.
We used to say do
two here, one at my brother's house, and one paid service I do online.
We used to say 2 different types of media, like a hard drive and a tape drive or a CD drive. But none of those work anymore, so all your backups are always on a hard drive. You do a cloud backup, it's someone else's hard drive.
Right. I actually found some tapes. I was doing some cleaning.
Yeah.
I found some tapes from an old tape backup.
Do you have a tape drive?
I do not. But I have the tapes.
All right, we're halfway there.
Hey, you know, with everything that's coming back around, you may be able to find a machine.
Don't laugh.
It's possible.
Probably can get one on Amazon.
Yep.
All right, so here's one from USB 7 days ago. Phison is aggressively denying that their SSDs are bricking Windows. Their testing shows it's not happening. Microsoft's testing says it's not us, but it's happening. The problem is, there's millions of computers, and they're all unique.
Oh, yeah. There's a million configurations with a million computers almost. So, and then hardware, different hardware, you never know what happens. But thank you, guys. I appreciate you taking my call.
Yep.
Thank you, Mark. Have fun.
You have a wonderful weekend. Thank you.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Backblaze, which is an online backup company, releases a report every quarter on how many of their hard drives have failed. And they use literally hundreds of thousands of hard drives.
Pardon?
And every quarter, a different manufacturer, a different brand failed more often than other brands. But next quarter, it's a different one. Next quarter, it's a different one. So the only thing consistent is about 20% failure rate per year.
Per year. So if you've got a hard drive that's more than any type of hard drive, SSD,
solid state drive, spinning drive,
anything, if it's approaching 5 years, tick, tick, tick.
Yeah, the chance of it dying this year have reached 100%.
Right. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Larry from Rochester, New York. What's up, Larry?
Hi, good afternoon. I'm just wondering if you've seen a behavior. Pixel 8 phone recently got updated to Android 16. I know this because I saw some changes in the UI.
Yep.
The problem is when I drag down on the status bar, I get the expanded status bar. But when I try and swipe right to get to all the other options, the expanded status bar just collapses. I've already tested the screen with Gmail. I'm sorry, I said swipe right. I meant to say from the right-hand side, swipe left. I've already tested in Gmail that functionality works along with a couple other apps. So I've convinced myself it's not dead space on the phone. That other apps do respond to a left swipe from the right-hand side appropriately.
All right, so
I can't get to two-thirds of my status bar icons.
All right, so I pull down to look at my status. Are you talking about the status is from the main screen where you can see, like, flashlight and all that other stuff?
That's correct.
Okay. I just did that, and I can swipe left, I guess, with no problem. So I'm not sure what you're seeing, unless you don't have anything to the left.
Try.
No, I definitely do. I have plenty of
icons. Sometimes it's a small target. If you're not far enough left, it doesn't work. If you're too far left, it doesn't work.
I just tried it from the very right edge, and it didn't work. But if I try it from the middle of the screen, it works fine.
Son of a gun. They changed it. Oh, my God.
There you go, Larry.
I used to do it all the way from the right. I almost swore, Nick, but thank you.
There you go. Have fun.
I see how they changed the user interface.
All right.
You guys have a good day.
Thanks. You too.
And
easiest question we'll get today.
Yep.
Some of that is if you start swiping in a different position, something else happens.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So on my iPhone, if I swipe down from the top, I get the status. If I swipe down from the middle, I get a search.
Yeah.
Well, but our Pixel phones, they changed the dialer.
Yeah.
Which, to me, it's a piece of junk. Now, the way they organized, you know, before I could sit there and say contacts, and I have a whole list of all my old my contacts, and I could just go through them alphabetically. Now they've screwed that up big time, you know, and the way they change around your dial and everything else, it's
interesting. I haven't played with that. I
don't use your phone as a phone.
All the time, but I've got everybody in groups.
Yep.
So I can just hit their person.
So you used to also have a panel that would be favorites, and it'd be right there, so you could just quick tap one of them, you know, the faces.
I still got that. I updated this week, and I still have that. It's right there at the top of my screen. My wife, my daughter, my sister-in-law.
Yeah, that one there. But I mean, as far as contacts...
You know, those are contacts.
No, but I meant...
in the contacts app?
Yeah, when you click the...
I still got those at the top of the screen, too. I don't know what you're talking about.
Contact apps, though. I mean, searching for somebody...
Or do, depending on which way it's working.
Yeah, right. So I can still...
Is every phone slightly different, even?
Well, we both have Pixel phones. I can search contacts.
You can search
at the top of the screen.
There used to be, when you say contacts, it had a list from A to Z, and up at the top was the A's, and you could scroll down. No.
I have that. I'm sorry, but I have that. I'm looking at that right now. I don't mean to be rude, but I'm looking at that right now.
I can sit here and go contacts, and it does not show me anything alphabetically.
It was maybe showing you it sorted differently somehow? By the most recent, most recently you called?
Yeah, showed all my old calls.
These are your old calls in the order you received the calls.
Yeah, but I used
That's to, always been there.
Before, when I had the contact list, it used to list the A through Z.
Well, yeah, that's not the contact list. That's the call list.
You're looking at the call list, not the contact list.
There is no call list.
That's what you were in.
You are in the call list.
No, at the top it says all, missed, contacts, non-spam, and spam.
Yeah, that's all calls, because contacts is a separate thing. You just mentioned it.
Mm-hmm.
It's the third one over. That's your contacts.
That's the contacts that you've called.
Yeah, but I wanted just the list of my contacts.
That's the contacts app.
There it is. It's the contacts app. It's right there.
Not the phone.
You got to go into a different one?
Not the phone app, the contacts app.
Yeah, you don't want the phone apps. You want the contacts app.
Gotcha. What a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
Still a pain in the butt.
It's always been.
I have this mantra that keeps me from bashing my head against the wall most of the time. It must have made sense to somebody. At the time.
Yes.
It must have made sense to somebody at the time
yep.
that they used a 1 millimeter long screw in this little tiny compartment that you can't reach.
Have you used the new Audacity?
It keeps asking me to do stuff, and I don't want to do any of that.
It's also entirely inconsistent.
Really?
Sometimes the OK button is at the top. Sometimes it's the bottom. Sometimes it's to the left. Sometimes it's to the right. I want to go find each and every one of those programmers, get them into a room together, and set off a grenade.
It's the 25th anniversary edition.
I don't care.
That's why it's
I don't care.
All that extra stuff.
Have they reached senility at this point? Is that what that is?
Yeah.
But yeah, so yeah. Yes.
I found what you're talking about.
Yeah. You found it.
It's a pain in the butt, though. It used to be in the phone app there.
It's not anymore. It's where it is now. Give it up. Let it go. Elsa, let it go.
Revert.
Just move on.
Revert to the previous update.
Yeah, exactly. but yes, we see this. Okay, so we see this regularly. When an update happens, things change.
Mm-hmm.
And we have muscle memory. I'm not blaming Dave. Okay, he's old. But that's not the point here. The point is, he has muscle memory. The way he has done things for 10 years is no longer the way things are done.
And then some.
And then some. And so he needs to learn a new way to do it. And it's just like, we keep talking about this, it's like buying a new car.
Yeah.
You still know how to drive, you just don't know where the radio is. You still know how to do contacts. You just don't know where to find them.
Well, but they're already saying now that, what, in another 5 to 10 years, you're not even going to need a phone. There's going to be other devices.
It's going to be your smart glasses.
Yeah.
It's going to be your glasses.
Yeah.
But they're only supposed to make these big UI changes with the first digit. Of not the second or third, but nobody looks at their digits anymore. People don't realize the difference between updates and upgrades and just hit OK.
Right.
But I just see here on Google, Android Central is reporting that Google deleted 56 million downloads from people's phones.
Yep.
After 180 malicious apps were found. So if an app you were using suddenly disappeared, that could be why it was malicious.
If an app you were using suddenly disappeared, say thank you.
Yeah.
There's been an interesting couple. There's a new scam now. App developers often get tired of doing it, and they can either cancel or discontinue their app, or they sell it to someone. Shady companies are buying these legitimate, good reputation apps and filling it with crapware and releasing an update. And now the previously perfectly working app is full of crap, and you don't realize it.
Yep.
One of the other things that I've seen lately. It just goes to burning me more, is when I sit there.
Kitties, grab a cup of hot cocoa, sit around in a
story hour,
semicircle around the rocking chair, and he's clearly already slapped awake. It's Uncle Dave.
You know how we have been sitting there saying, oh, everybody wants something thinner in a darn phone.
Yeah.
Thinner, thinner, thinner. What did I see just the past few days? All these cases that they're designing, they have, these wallet attachments on the freaking back of them.
Yep, yep.
That you can sit there and add all your credit cards.
Nobody wants thinner phones except Johnny Ive and Steve Jobs. Those are the only two people on the planet who wanted thinner phones.
So don't preach to me when you sit there and say, the phone's going to be a few millimeters thicker so we can add more battery life, you dipwit.
Younger people don't carry wallets, so they slide their credit cards in their phone case.
Oh,
now they don't even carry credit cards because they all use Tap to Pay.
Definitely.
But I did see...
that today. The lady looked at me like, She said, okay, it'll be this much money because I stopped to get breakfast. It'll be this much money. So I held out my wrist.
Yep.
And she said, there's no money in that hand. I said, the money's on my wrist.
Mm-hmm.
She said, okay.
I wondered why there was a coil on my reader here. Yeah. But I was just reading a podcast and someone was talking about the new Galaxy Fold. And even folded, it's thinner than the iPhone 16.
Yeah.
So, because now there's rumors that the iPhone 17 Air is even thinner.
Right.
And then somebody asked, well, I drop my phone all the time. What about a case for it? How do you make a case for a folding phone?
Oh, that's good.
And that's
the hard part.
Tricky. Yeah, that's not going to happen.
I love my case. It has saved me well more than once. Particularly as I get older and the neuropathy gets worse, I tend to drop my phone, and the case has saved it. I've broken the case, but the phone exists. It still lives.
So, it's like mine. Matter of fact, I've got to go take it in because it does have a crack in it, but it's the glass protector that's got the crack, right. Not my screen.
Right, right.
So I'm good.
That's the point behind the protector as well.
It did its job, just like a surge protector and everything else. It protected the main part of the glass, and the case that I have, this OtterBox on the around it, has helped, like you, has saved the drops many a time, and it's gone on a corner or flat down, and screen's still good. I don't have any broken screen.
Although, I want to thank Thor, one of our cats. We did not name them. They came that way. Thor was kind enough to break the fall of my phone the other day. very nice of him.
Cat.
Yeah, yeah. I dropped it, and he was right there, so God bless him.
He was probably resting, sound asleep, snoring away, and boom, a phone slams on him.
Boom.
Sometimes I'll sneeze and scare the heck out of our cat.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And runs away. So when I'm standing up, I scare the cat, and he runs away from me. When I'm lying down on bed, he jumps up on my chest, and I can pet him.
Yeah.
Because I'm now not taller than he is.
Exactly right. Our dog, we got this stray, and it's a long story, but we ended up with this stray, and it took a while for him to relax around us, and the very first day he felt comfortable enough to sleep with his back to me, I sneezed.
Oh,
when I opened my eyes, he was right here growling. I mean, right here. So, yeah, they're... Our cats are used to sneezing now. It's not a big deal anymore.
Yeah, I got the Westie, my one Westie. And it's like, you sneeze, and I'll say, she's right there in your face. It's like, you okay?
No, he was growling. He thought I was threatening him in some way.
Oh, mine just thinks there's something wrong, and got to be right there just to check and verify.
Cats do that, but they're thinking, are you dead? Can I eat you? It's a different story, I think, there. But at any rate, yes, things change, and we have to learn to adapt. It's part of what keeps us young, the ability to adapt to new situations.
But, you know, going back to the phone, though, I mean, they're trying to find, which we've said for, over a decade now, trying to find new things to, I got to have that one, and make the lines long again like they used to back in the day with the iPhones. Now it's, a new iPhone.
And especially, speaking of which, is new iPhones coming Tuesday.
Right.
And all the rumors know exactly what's coming.
Right.
Yeah.
Apple is suing one of the big rumor guys, alleging that he paid someone to break into his roommate's development phone who happened to work at Apple. Who has since been fired for leaving his development phone at home.
Well, how many times do we see somebody found a development phone in a bar or a
They
a
set
restaurant?
It down, yeah.
Yeah. So he did something wrong against Apple policy by taking his development phone and leaving it alone. But then Apple's claiming the journalist paid someone to break into it, which is bad journalism and illegal.
Yeah,
you can't incent someone to do something illegal to get the story.
Right.
And he tweeted, that's not how it went down.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all we've heard from him.
Yeah, there you go.
So it's going to be, pre-hearing motions and discovery. And
don't say a word.
So Apple is suing for damages. So Andy on MacBreak was saying, I want to see the discovery where Apple proves what damages were caused in sales by leaking what the look of the next phone might be.
Right.
Yeah.
When they are going to announce it themselves, especially now they're announcing it themselves in July when the developer betas are out now. So now it's mostly public.
Yep.
But at the time it wasn't released yet. So And you couldn't buy it. So how are they going to prove damages?
Right. Well, the other thing is Apple and Google went the other way. The minute there was a leaked photo of the Pixel 10, they started publishing stuff.
Yeah.
Okay,
to get ahead of it.
We're going to get ahead of this. Here it is. This is what you're going
to
see.
Apple has gotten a lot better than they used to be. There's an apocryphal story. Before One Macworld years ago, ATI announced a new video card, as used in the new Macs, on the signs at Macworld. Steve Jobs saw that, canceled the Mac.
Wow.
So that the sign can't pre-announce a machine we haven't announced.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
Nowadays they're a lot looser about those things.
But still, you got to protect your trade secrets.
No, absolutely. But there's
and the journalists want to know the trade secrets.
Right.
But you don't incent someone and pay them to break the law for
That's exactly right. That's illegal. If the phone had been left unlocked, and he just picked it up and looked at it, and besides, if he took a picture of the outside of the phone, that's not illegal.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, the employee did something wrong by leaving it around for him to see.
Yeah, and the one that was found in a barn bar had a case around it, so you didn't see the actual phone.
Right.
Because they knew eventually you got to take the new thing out in public to see if it works in public.
Yeah, exactly right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a whole lot of that. All right. That music tells us we are done with the first hour of the first show of our 37th year. But do not go away. There's a whole another hour of the longest running computer show in the known universe coming your way. That's a whole nother hour of Dave Enright, a whole nother hour of Steve Ray, and a whole nother hour of me, Nick Francesco, and of course a whole nother hour of you, but only if you give us a call at 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299, or toll free at 800-790-0415. Take a quick bio break, grab yourself a refreshment, but don't go too far because we're going to come back with a whole lot more sound bites right here on the truly great and truly grateful to you, because I can't say it enough, we are solely member-supported Jazz 90.1. We will see you on the other side.
Before you call into our show, please make note of the following rules. 1. Turn your radio down. 2. Turn your radio down lower. 3. Remember, nobody has invented a good-sounding speakerphone yet. Don't use them. 4. Make sure you have a point. It makes for a more interesting show. 5. Calling does not guarantee you'll get on the air. No whining. 6. If you do get on the air, please do not tell the host what you just told the screener. We don't care. And 7. Is that radio turned down yet? We hope this will make for a more enjoyable program, and we thank you for your time.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
WGMC Greece Rochester, a public service of the Greece Central School District, Jazz 90.1.
On Facebook at Jazz 901 FM.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 4 minutes after the hour, we are hurtling headlong into the second hour of the first show of the 37th year of the longest running computer show in the known universe, Soundbites. And we have Bill from Greece, New York on the line. What's up, Bill?
Hi, guys. Happy New Year.
Thank you, and the same to you.
Last week I called asking about putting your telephone on the internet, and you told me about a device named Uma.
Yep.
So I went out and got one. I'd like to tell you a little bit about my experience.
Okay.
Cool. It was $120 because I wanted to get the wireless.
Sure.
The lady said, don't worry, our technician will take care of everything because you told me about what a pain it's going to be to port the number.
Yep.
And I called, oh, don't worry about that. Our technician will do everything. Well, not quite true. Firstly, it's supposed to be an easy experience. Well, it took me and three different technicians 2.5 hours to connect. maybe I've got something wrong, but, you know, two of them hung up on me.
Wow.
Or we lost a connection.
Yeah.
Secondly, yeah, you can port your number, but they don't tell you. That's another $40 fee.
Okay.
To port your number. And then to port the number from Frontier Communications, Frontier Communications has a freeze on your phone, on your port number. So they contacted me back and says, you got to contact Frontier and have them remove the freeze. That took about 12 minutes to have the one lady. So I'm doing it. It takes a while. And then they contacted me and told me, okay, it's going to take 4 weeks for us to port your phone. It should be ready on the 1st of October. However, the only thing you have to pay is taxes. And in Rochester, taxes are $6 a month. I was paying $68 a month. I'm saving $62 a month, over $700 a year.
And that might be worth a little bit of hassle setting it up.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I would advise anybody that still is on a landline to get a hold of some device, because all you got to pay is taxes.
Yep.
And that's $6, you know, you're going to save a bunch of money.
Yep, yep. Even though you had to buy the UMA, you're going to save over $500 just the first year.
Yeah, the UMA and the $40 for the port fee.
Right. You're still going to save $500.
And then they make you wait a month. You told me, oh, there's a law that they have to allow it. I think they put the wait a month in there so they get one more payment out of you.
Yeah, exactly.
I've done porting and it took 10 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Between two cell companies. Maybe it's different for landline.
Well, and it's Frontier, so who knows.
Yeah, but great information. You're saving me a bunch of money, and I am a member. Thank you very much.
So we'd like to hear, Bill. Thanks.
Thank you.
And thank you for sharing. We love it when people call and tell us their experiences.
Yeah.
We very much appreciate that. All right. And you, of course, can give us a call.
Well, I say that's if you still want a landline.
Right.
Most people are going with cell phone only anyway.
Yeah, right. Most folks have ditched their home phones.
Right. Right. All right. And, of course, you can give us a call at 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or toll free 800-790-0415. Microsoft Word users have several options when it comes to saving their documents. From local saves to storing documents on network shares or an integrated cloud service such as Microsoft OneDrive. Well,
no, Microsoft. I want to save my document on my computer, in my house that I own.
See, Microsoft has had enough of your independent nonsense.
Yes.
They're changing the default save location for Word documents to OneDrive, whether you like it or not. You want privacy? You thought you owned your own documents? Microsoft begs to differ. In addition, any new document will be named with the date instead of a traditional name by default, under the assumption that you only write one document a day, apparently.
Well, that's why you have seconds.
And the same change, minutes, yeah. Right. And the same change will be rolling out to Excel and PowerPoint later on. You can, of course, change it, but Microsoft won't like that, and it's just one more annoyance. Over the years, Microsoft Defender has, to our surprise, evolved into a capable and often underrated antivirus that blocks a wide variety of threats. But a hacker group has found a way to completely disable Microsoft Defender, and it already is being used in active ransomware campaigns. The method doesn't rely on exploiting a software bug or delivering an obviously malicious file. Instead, it takes advantage of how the Windows driver system is designed to allow deep hardware access. So it might be time to try a different antivirus program, which you can find at securitytango.com. Thanks to Microsoft's legendary approach to quality control, Microsoft has broken the Windows reset and recovery functionality so bad it had to push an out-of-band update. While Windows 11 24H2 and Windows Server are not affected, the issue, which turned up in August of 2025 security update, has hit many other versions, including the outgoing Windows 10. So if you don't fix it by the middle of October, too stinking bad. According to Microsoft, attempts to reset or recover device might fail. Your Teams users shouldn't feel left out. Microsoft is resolving a known issue that causes couldn't connect errors when launching the Microsoft Teams desktop and web applications. The company states the error is caused by a recent change to Teams sidebar, but is yet to disclose which regions are affected by this ongoing issue. Let me repeat that. Microsoft made a change to the Teams sidebar, which broke connectivity. You Office and Pilot co-pilot users shouldn't feel left out either. Microsoft is investigating an ongoing issue preventing users across North America from accessing Office.com and the Copilot. Probably something to do with the sidebar. You streamers shouldn't feel left out either. Microsoft has confirmed that the August 2025 security updates are causing severe lag and stuttering issues with network device interface streaming software on some Windows 10 and Windows 11 systems. We won't leave you out if you give us a call at 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299 or toll free 800-790-0415.
It's interesting sometimes when normal people don't know all the technical verbiage. I had a customer yell at me because his sidebar disappeared and I didn't fix it for him.
Right.
I said, well, no, it's right there. I've fixed it. No, not that one. The one at the bottom.
Oh. Sidebar at the bottom?
Yeah. Okay.
Sidebar at the bottom.
Yep.
That's called the dock on a Mac.
A dock or a taskbar.
The taskbar on Windows, yeah.
Windows. All right. All right. And that is the problem. That's the other problem with looking stuff up, too.
Yep.
If you don't know the exact name, finding something can be difficult.
Or misleading, too.
Or misleading. Exactly right. You look up the wrong thing. All right. Back to the phones. Our next caller is Richard from Irondequoit, New York. What's up, Richard?
Hi, guys. I am a member.
Yay.
And you were talking cell phones a few minutes ago. So on July 10th of this year, my cell phone fell out of my shorts pocket as I'm sitting in my car at an ATM machine, and it's gone.
Mm.
$1,200 phone. I've been depressed ever since. Do you guys know of one of these websites online, Find My Phone, which there are a number of? Any of them work?
Yes. What type of phone do you have?
It was an Amazon Alpha. Amazon.
What OS was it running?
Yeah, was it running Android?
Yes.
Because Find My is built into Android and Apple. You don't need a third party app.
Right. So you should be able to go to
find.android? No.
Find.google.com, I think. Wait a minute. It's been a while.
I'd be most grateful.
The Find Hub. Google.com/android/find.
Yeah.
Wow. Please say that again.
Google.com/android/find.
Or myaccount.google.com/find your phone.
It's asking me to log. Well, I'm already logged into my account, so it knows.
Yeah.
I don't have an Android phone.
Google.com/android/find.
/android.
He's going to post a link on our website.
Please. Yes. Yes.
And
now, do you have to turn it on ahead of time?
It should be on.
Apple's Find My is on by default.
If he lost it months ago, the battery may be worn out, but it will tell you where it last found it. The other thing is, and I know you did this. Did you look under your seat?
Mm. Yes.
Okay.
I have looked high and low for 20 different times.
In between the edge of the seat and the edge of the center console.
Yes.
On both sides.
I have a device that sticks in there like a pillow to prevent you from dropping things in.
Yeah, don't trust it.
Okay, I'll pull it out and look again. But
you never know,
Okay, Google, I'll check out your website and see what it's all about. I don't know how they could locate a phone anyway, but I will try this.
Well, the whole point of a phone is it knows where you are so it can ring.
Right.
And it knows where it is so it can give you directions.
Hmm.
And it publishes that information into your Google account or your Apple account, so that you can find it when you lose it.
Interesting.
I even have a button on my watch that makes my phone ding, so I can see, is it in the car? Did I leave it somewhere? It's in my, okay, I can hear it dinging. It's in my bag somewhere.
Yeah, right.
Interesting. Well, I hope this works because I'm sick over it, and I've already bought a new one, but it's the new one is nowhere near this beautiful phone that I lost.
You may, I don't know, it might be too late, but you may check with your insurance company to see if there's a, one, if phones would be covered, and two, what your rider is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's $1,000 copay or whatever that is.
Yeah.
Yeah, so below $1,000 they won't cover, and I did pay a little less than a grand, but it's a $1,200 retail phone.
Well, there you go. And yeah. The other thing is, like I said, on the Google account, it will tell you the last time it saw it, and then that'll tell you, and it'll tell you where it last saw it.
I know where I dropped it. It fell out of my pocket at the ATM machine, Hudson Titus.
Well, but so, that's not the last time your phone That's not the last time your phone reported its location. If somebody picked it up and moved it, it would report that location.
Oh, I see.
So it may be that somebody found it and turned it in at the bank.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, they didn't. No.
Okay, the point is
on that corner and the bank.
The point is wherever it is, wherever the last place it was before it lost battery power, it will report.
I see. Thanks, guys.
All right, good luck.
Thank you.
One time I left my phone in the Wegmans shopping cart when I returned it to the cart corral.
Oh, yeah.
And when I got home, I remembered that. Oh, I left it away, so I went back. It wasn't in the cart corral anymore. So I went up to customer service, and they had me describe it.
It's like it's a phone.
Well, yeah. What color case? What phone? You know, what's on the lock screen? They routinely turn every phone off when they find a phone and put it behind the counter. Otherwise, every single phone would be ringing every 2 minutes with people trying to see where it is. But I looked at, you know, I left. So I knew I left it somewhere. I looked at Find My. Oh, it's still at Wegmans. So I had to drive back to Wegmans.
Yep.
But
at least you got it back.
I got it back. Yep. And I could describe the home screen, so when they turned it on, they knew it was mine. And my passcode unlocked it, so they knew it was mine.
Oh, we get them all the time at work.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, I just had a Galaxy nice fold phone left in a shopping cart. The number of folks that even come up to the counter and just leave it there because they're busy, you know, picking up their other merchandise and doing this, and it's like, excuse me, come on back. What?
Yep.
Or they leave their car keys?
My wife has it all the time at market. People are constantly leaving their phones because they put it down to pick up a cup of coffee. And they, you know, they put in their cream and their sugar. It takes two hands to do all of that. And then they start to walk away. It is now routine for the people who work Free Lane to check the counter when somebody walks away.
Yeah,
I've read so many stupid stories from people, you know, someone announces, you know, Stacy left your phone at the front desk, and a man walks up, hi, it's my phone.
Yeah.
The pink girly phone with the name Stacy on it, yeah, that's mine.
And the Hello Kitty on the back?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. All right, that's fine. Okay. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Jack from Gates, New York. What's up, Jack?
Yeah, earlier on the show, I heard the gentleman mention that he just bought a computer and he found out it's not upgradable to Windows 11. And I ran into the same problem. You know, I didn't think my computer was that old. It had an i7-6700, and no, it didn't make the cutoff. So if I want to buy a Windows 11 machine, what's the best strategy in terms of picking a processor that is going to be fairly upgradable when they do some next version of Windows?
If you buy a laptop, you're never going to upgrade the processor. You're just not.
And even on a desktop, you're never going to know what Microsoft's future requirements are.
And usually, most of the systems being sold right now that you're, you know, if you go to, like, say, Dell, Web, or HP, or any of the current machines, they're already being installed with Windows 11 when you purchase it.
So, Jack, the best strategy nowadays is to buy the most computer you can afford. And then it will stay viable the longest.
And in your case, the Windows PC Health Checker, which we posted a link to last week before, will tell you why it's not compatible. It may not be your chip. It may be that you're missing the Trusted Platform module. And you might be able to add that to your motherboard.
Okay. In my case, they basically said the processor doesn't work, and I was told that basically I took it to some places and they said basically the processor is such that it can't be upgraded in my particular machines. What's confusing to me though is when you say the most you can afford.
Yeah.
Okay. So you have i3s that were compatible with 11, but you had i7s that were not compatible with 11. So when you say the most, you mean the latest or best i3 platform?
The latest
i7 platform, or i7s better than any i3?
Well, we're in generations now. So a 15th generation, are we in the current now?
Yeah, I think
a 15th
so.
Generation IC is better, i3 is better than a 10th generation i7. So within the generation 3, 5, 7, 9, the nines are best. But as when you change generations, so your i7 might be an older generation from a new i3, and so the i3 is compatible, the older i7 isn't.
And the other thing that you also want to factor in, which along with the chip, is memory and graphics card. Those are the other three things, because SSD, hard drive,
and a TPM module, but they all come with that now. Yeah. If you're going to run Windows 11.
It looks like the Windows 11 24H2 needs an 11th generation Intel processor.
Or more. If you've got a 10th generation, you cannot put Windows 11 on it.
Unless you can replace the CPU. And that depends on your motherboard.
Right. But if it's a laptop, the likelihood is zero.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. So pay attention, really, as opposed to getting too caught up in whether it's i3, i7, or whatever, what the generation is, the latest generation.
Right. You want the latest generation. And and as Steve said, an i5 is better than an i3, an i7 is better than an i5, an i9 is better than an i7.
I would kind of stay away from the threes. They're at the cheaper low end of the market. You're not going to get much longevity out of them because it was going to be long. It's not going to be very long before it feels old. So I would personally start with at least a 7.
Yeah.
Okay.
The latest and greatest, and as much of that as you can afford, as Dave said, in terms of both the processor and the RAM and the size of the hard drive. And you know, no computer running Windows is going to be viable in 10 years.
And get a separate graphics card.
But if you're buying a desktop, if you're buying a laptop, it's harder, but you might be able to do it. That's why we tell people if you've got an older laptop, even an i3, put Linux on it. It will continue to run fine, but that gives you more longevity in that device. But again, you're not running Windows programs.
Well, that's what I've done with my other machines. I put Linux on it. I'm really happy with it, but I do need one 11 machine for certain purposes.
Right. And so, yeah, I would buy at least an i7. Get the newest generation. And as fast a processor, as much RAM, and as big a hard drive as you can afford.
Mm-hmm. And then if I get a separate graphics card, is there any particular manufacturer or type of graphics card that's going to be a little safer than others in terms of longevity?
NVIDIA.
NVIDIA is good.
There's basically only two companies. There's AMD and NVIDIA.
Yeah, either one is fine.
Good. Okay, thank you very much, guys.
All right, good luck.
Bye-bye.
Now, something can be said for Intel's built-in graphics because it's built onto the same chip.
Yeah.
So it's not as slow as it used to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the problem with buying PCs, I just went to Dell.com, and it's showing me 70 results on PCs.
Yep.
And these are PCs that have deals on them. 70.
Yeah.
How's the average person supposed to decide what they want?
Well, like I said, I went to buy a computer, a new desktop, and before the tariffs came in, and I ended up with an i9. It's the last generation.
Mm-hmm.
It still ran Windows 11, not a problem.
Only one generation old, it's probably okay.
I put Linux on it, so it'll be good for the next 20 years.
Yeah.
So that's not that was not an issue.
They've also gotten a little sneakier in the chips.
Yeah.
So if you look at the chip name, if it ends with a U, that's their lower power one.
Right.
Which means it's cheaper. If it ends with a V or a W, that's the higher power one. So it's going to cost more.
Right. And in one sense, a U for a laptop is not a bad idea because you get longer battery life, but it's going to be a slightly slower processor. And that only you can make the decision.
Right. And it depends what you're going to do with it. If you're going to look at websites, processors doesn't matter. If you're going to render videos, then the processor matters.
Right. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Kevin from Greece, New York. What's up, Kevin?
Hi. So I have a new Windows 11 PC desktop that I just bought. And when I take my external hard drive from my Windows 10 machine and connected it to the new machine, it doesn't recognize it. I've also tried plugging it into an old Windows 10 laptop, and it also doesn't recognize it. So was there something I did wrong on the original Windows 10 desktop that it doesn't recognize it on either of these other machines?
Are you plugging it straight into the SATA port, or do you have a USB external adapter?
USB external adapter.
I would try a different USB adapter, or plug it to the internal port.
Yeah. Okay.
How big a drive is it?
It's a two terabyte.
I have seen some of those USB adapters that are limited to the capacity of the drive they support.
Yeah.
If it's especially if it's like USB 2.
Okay. All right. The weird thing is the antivirus on the new Windows 11 machine recognizes it. It says, do you want to scan this drive as soon as I plug it in? Like, it sees something there, but Windows 11 won't, like, say this is drive G or anything like that. It just doesn't.
Oh, so it recognizes it but doesn't mount it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That could be. Do you happen to know what file system it is? NTFS? HF?
It's NTFS.
It should work. I was just saying, if it was XFAT, maybe that's the problem.
Well, but it may be the problem with it's too big a drive for the type of controller he bought.
Yeah, for the USB controller.
Could be.
That's
right.
Probably
so
it.
That's why Steve is saying if you buy a different USB carrier, right, however you're plugging it in.
Uh-huh.
So I'm assuming you're putting it in some sort of container and then plugging that into the USB drive.
I mean, this is it. This is in a case, and it's got a USB cord that comes out of the case.
Oh, then it should work.
Well,
so
it still could be a capacity issue.
Yeah.
If you go to the manual or even to the original sales thing, they'll often say what capacity they support.
Okay.
Yeah, it may be that that's the problem, and you should be able to buy a higher capacity case and then take the drive out of the current case and put it in the new one.
Okay.
You just have to know if it's SATA or, you know, whatever the connector is inside that case.
Right, right. Okay. All right. We'll give that a try.
All right. Good luck.
Yeah. Okay. Yep.
There's also something called UASP, which is one of the SATA specifications in SATA 3. So maybe your case doesn't support it, but the drive requires it.
Well, that's a possibility. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you really need to look at what the drive does and then what the particular case you've got it in does and whether those are compatible.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, with Steve Ray, with me, Nick Francesco, and with you. It is 29 minutes after the hour. You're listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe. That would be Sound Bites right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1. We'll see you in a few.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more sound bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 34 minutes after the hour, we are Sound Bites. And you can give us a call at 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or toll free at 800-790-0415. You know, we were talking during the break about iPhones and Android phones. And I was opining. I know that's a shock to you all. that there's so very little. And I know nobody wants to hear this from either end of the spectrum. And I don't care. There's so very little difference now between the two phones.
Yeah.
It really only depends on which ecosystem you want to belong in.
Mm-hmm.
And that is it. They all have amazing cameras, yep, amazing amounts of memory. The software all does the same wonderful, sexy, take movies and photos and edit them. And they all do exactly the same thing now.
Yeah, I was listening to a podcast, and they were talking about the new Galaxy Fold, and were saying that Google's object elimination is a little farther ahead than Apple's.
Right.
Google's been doing it longer.
Right.
But they were annoyed because then Google adds a watermark saying AI-generated image.
Right.
Because removing the object, they have to fill in behind the object, which means they're using... Excuse me. So the Mac guy on the panel was saying, yeah, you don't use Apple software, you use Photoshop. Everyone uses Photoshop for that.
Right.
And people have been saying that. There was a neat feature... Was it a Microsoft phone did? So you got a bunch of people... You're trying to take a group shot of them. And in this shot, that guy got his eye closed. In that shot, he's looking at the wrong camera. And so...
That's a Google thing.
Yeah, so it will take all those shots and find the one where everyone's looking at your camera and put them all together.
Yep.
Okay, that's AI-generated photo retouching.
Yeah.
And I had someone ask me, why can't Apple's phone do that? Well, they can. You use Photoshop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Built-in apps versus third-party apps.
Right. And, of course, the ability to do that requires a fairly high-end phone.
Yep.
Right? You're not going to do that on the $200 Walmart special. The old flip phone, right.
I like the commercial where the guy takes a picture of his wife sitting on the couch and there's a cat next door and he circles the cat. The cat disappears. He goes, hey, look, I took the cat out. The wife glares at him. The cat glares at him. He taps undo.
The old flip phones. You know what? They had their place.
Mm-hmm.
My first phone was a flip phone, and I can't tell you.
Beam me up, Scotty. That was their place.
Exactly right. But I can't tell you how excited I was to make my first cell phone call on that flip phone. I remember the feeling of being at market and opening up my phone and making a call and thinking, this is I'm in the future.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's like, yeah, you call me on my cell phone, I'll be at the beach somewhere. Okay.
I can remember
the
company I was
with at the time had one of those giant Motorola bricks.
Oh, yeah.
Guess where I'm calling you from?
Yeah, I can still remember I got a brick. What we called the brick.
Yeah.
And it was when we were doing the computer Comdex show at downtown.
What it was here in town.
And I signed
at the Riverside.
Yeah, and when we were doing the booth there, and I wound up going down and signed up, and I wound up getting one of those bricks. Oh, this is so cool, being able to call, with this huge thing,
with a giant antenna.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, that was the very first phone call.
Yep.
The Motorola guy called his rival at one of the other phone manufacturers and said, on the streets of Manhattan, said, guess where I'm calling from?
Yep.
But yeah, I remember, and we don't have that sense of wonder anymore.
Uh-uh.
You know, we're jaded now. And because, that first time I opened up a phone and made my flip phone and made or as my wife calls them, the Gibbs phone, and made a cell phone call.
Mm-hmm.
The sense of wonder that I had, we don't have, even when you buy a new phone, it's like, oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, another phone. Yeah.
I can remember watching Canon in his giant Lincoln Continental.
Yep.
Open the
console,
pick up a phone, mobile operator, connect me to the,
Yep. Well,
and that was a radio. That wasn't a cell phone.
100 years ago, when I was working at the computer center, we sold DBase, a different database system, a big database. I don't remember what it was, but we sold it to this guy who took it home, brought it back, and says, these disks are empty.
Mm-hmm.
So I gave him another copy, brought it home, he brought it back, and said, these disks are empty. So I took the last one off the shelf, and this was like a $700 product.
Mm-hmm.
tested them. They all worked. He brought it back. He said, these disks are empty. We had gotten a new shipment in, so I gave him the new disks. He took them out to his car. I walked him out to his car. He put them down in a console, and his phone rang. He had a car phone, and it was a Bell.
Yep.
It was a standard Bell.
With
and
a giant
magnet erased the discs. That's what had happened. He took calls all day long. He's a salesman.
Yeah.
So he put the discs next to this phone, and it erased them immediately.
I've read stories about people that use a magnet to hold the disc under the filing cabinet so they know where it is.
Yes. We had one of those. Somebody put a post-it on it, said, whose is this? I wrote underneath it, nobody's anymore.
Yeah.
That's just the way that works.
Empty now.
We used to have this sense of wonder about this stuff. And the first iPod, right? I mean, it was the most incredible
thing. 1,000 songs in your pocket.
In your pocket. It's hard to believe.
The average CD was only 10 songs. So.
Right.
So that was 100 CDs.
Right.
I might have a 6-disc changer in my car, but 100? No.
100 CDs. I don't even have 100 CDs
at the time.
I can remember a client. He had gotten one of the new big screens, tube. And it was his birthday. So his kid took, you know, the letters that go on the refrigerator.
And
took glue and put happy birthday, Dad, on the screen.
Yep.
And it was on. And he had that burnt in image of those magnets.
Yep. We used to show people you could take a magnet and mess up your CRT. So keep magnets away from it.
Right.
And a customer brought his monitor back in a week later with the screen permanently messed up. My kid had a magnet.
Yep. Yeah.
Because it looks cool when you're doing it. Just don't keep doing it.
Just don't keep doing it. Yeah. It's a So we used to see those all the time. I'd never forget the time I got a call from someone that I worked with. I was doing tech support at a bank. My monitor won't turn on. No. Is it bad when I turn my monitor on and smoke comes out? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That's the textbook definition of bad.
Magic smoke.
I said, I will bring you another monitor. And rather than look it up in the database, I said, is it color or black and white? And she stopped, thought about it for a minute, and said, it's kind of beige. Mm-hmm. I said, okay, I'll bring it. I brought one of each. I just loaded up a cart and took one of each.
I read stories like that where
it turns out she had hung a plant over the monitor. This is a CRT.
Yeah.
And watered it. Overwatered it.
Dripped into the monitor.
Okay, let's move the plant, shall we?
I read stories about computers that are actively on fire.
Yeah.
And they call tech support. Can you save my data? No!
Right.
Hang up and call the fire department. Yeah. Unplug it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't let out the magic smoke.
We see this over and over and over again, which is that people don't back up.
Mm-hmm.
They always think they have more time. Spoiler alert, you don't. For anything. Don't hold off saying I love you. Don't hold off that second piece of cake. Don't hold off backing up.
Well, I'm sure Steve has heard it as much as I did when I had the business going. And you ask him where their backup is. I meant to. What do you mean? You can't save it? If I had your backups.
Well, that was a good intention. And you know what's paved with good intentions?
Yeah.
And it's getting to be worse now. Because all the Apples and many PCs are now using an SoC. One chip has your RAM, your CPU, your GPU, and your storage.
Yeah.
So when your computer dies, there is no hard drive to pull out and recover.
Right.
Mm-hmm. If you're lucky, you can send that logic board to Drive Savers.
Well, it's harder on these, on Macs, because on this, at least many of the Windows laptops have a hard drive.
Right. But some of them are going to the. Especially the less expensive ones, because it's cheaper to put everything on one chip.
Right. So if you're not backing up, then you don't really have your data. You're borrowing it. If you want to own it, back it up.
But you know, that's the whole thing, though. Like you say, these new chips and everything else, a lot of folks don't know or want to know the inner workings. All they know is they want to be able to turn it on and do their stuff.
And what annoys me is they don't want to learn anything.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And, you know, well, I never knew, you know, because they don't do any further looking other than
complacent. Excuse me, they were told. Boy. How many times are they told, back up?
Oh, yeah. No, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is they didn't want to learn more about this brand new computer and what they should be doing. A1, back up, back up, back up.
Right.
Because, you know, everything is now on this one chip. There is no more hard drive that we can pull out and magically send off and do this and do that.
Where'd all my files go? There's only one file named Untitled.
Well,
and every time I hit save, it asks if I want to replace it, and I say yes.
Right. And every how many times have has someone said to me, I don't know where my data are saved? Well, I'm sorry, but that's a basic thing.
Yep.
That's like saying, I've owned this car for 10 years and I don't know where to put gas in it.
What's in Word?
I went and bought a gun, but I never took a class in firearm safety. Okay, you can buy a computer without a license. It doesn't mean you should.
Yeah.
Learn at least the basic, simple things.
See, people are used to typing a name for their file.
Right.
And then they stop. They don't look at what folder it goes in. Well, it's in Word. No, it isn't. Well, look, when I open Word, it says recent, and there it is. Okay. The whole path is there.
Yep.
So, yes, and it's in OneDrive, damn it.
If you're looking for your 11th file, it's not in that list.
Yep.
Here's a hint. You can make that list longer, but you've got to know how to do it.
Making it shorter is almost impossible. You can have no list.
Right.
But you can't clear the list that's there.
Right. So, yeah, it's you really do have to pay attention. You really do have to learn. And I understand, look, everybody's busy. Computers are not your main thing.
And
they kind of are. If you're running your business
nowadays
on a computer, you owe it to your livelihood, to your family, to know at least enough about it to back up.
Well, a lot of folks' lives nowadays, doctor's appointments and lab reports and everything else, you know, paying bills and everything else is, you know, they want you to do it online so it automatically... you know, you can check your usage of RG&E and all that now, because now with the smart meters, you know, you don't have to go out and do that reading of the meter anymore. You can just go online, look at your current bill, and boom.
What amazes me is the number of people who don't know you don't need a credit card to pay for things. And I'm not just talking about the people with the phones and the watches. I'm talking about the people taking your money.
Yeah.
The third time this, no, last month now, third time, three times last month, I went to pay with my watch and people were shocked that you can do that. Yes, you can do that. You've been able to do that for a decade.
Which means,
I realize I'm 140 years old, but even I know you can do that.
They haven't run commercials for NFC payments recently.
Right.
So people have forgotten.
Right. Well, one guy, I will admit, one guy was just surprised that his terminal did that.
Yeah.
He did not understand that tap to pay meant tap anything.
Yeah.
Well, I get it at work all the time. I mean, I'm trying to encourage more and more folks to do the tapping. They go, why? I go, it is far more secure to tap than to, you know.
When you tap, you are using a one-time number. So even if somebody steals that number, they can't do anything with it.
Well,
but if they steal your credit, you've seen all the news items about skimmers, the things that, that steal your credit card numbers. Well, the credit card number is permanent. You have to replace the credit card. And I cannot tell you what a pain in every part of your body that is. Whereas if you tap to pay, or if you use your watch or your phone, it's a one-time number, and it cannot be stolen.
Well, for us, though...
It's harder to steal, I'll just say that.
The one thing that folks are finally realizing, you know, they come in and you go, card or receipt? Well, I don't know where the receipt is. I go, no problem. You got the credit card you put it on? Oh, yeah. Boom.
Now, see, I don't know how that works, because our POS will not store credit cards. It's a security precaution. So we have no idea what credit card you used.
Right.
Ours will pull up that receipt. And then, boom, I can scan the stuff and boom.
Yeah, we have to look through every single line item to find that customer's purchase.
Well, see, we don't have to. Matter of fact, they just come up, and I'll say card or receipt. Mm-hmm. They got their card. They go ahead with their phone. Matter of fact, with Apple, our Apple, we discovered that, you know, if they try to use the card, they can't. If they use tap to pay, they got to use tap to pay again for the return. And also,
because it's a different card.
Yeah. And it's like, oh, that's cool. And it's more secure. And I can sit then and scan their items that they're returning, and they're good to go.
And this morning, I was running late about breakfast. I tapped to pay, and the woman said, "What watch is that, an Apple Watch?" "No, ma'am. It annoys me." "No, ma'am, it's a Pixel watch." "Well, I like that watch. It does that. How much extra is that?"
Gold's a monopoly at the back end, not the front end.
Right.
But that's becoming, it's slowly becoming more and more popular, the tap and pay.
Yep.
And it should be. It is more secure. It is safer.
Far more secure than, you know.
And just about every phone does it.
Mm-hmm.
Most modern watches do it. Your credit card has a chip in it.
Most of the terminals do it.
Yep.
Everyone had to get new terminals when the EMV extended merchant validation system came out a few years back, and as a side effect, they had tap to pay built into them.
Right.
If you see that little logo with the radiating lines, the wireless logo, that means that terminal support. Even if the clerk doesn't
support,
know
it will support your card, your phone, and your watch.
Yep.
And probably any other tap to pay device you might happen to have.
Yep.
Your tablet.
Well, I had
The BJ's I go to that said tap to pay coming soon for like 5 years.
Yeah.
It now works.
For the gas. Yeah, gas. I can just use.
Yeah. But I still have to scan my BJ's card.
Yeah.
That's right. Not tap to scan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be coming because there's no reason not to. You know,
and now you can add those types of cards to your phone or your watch.
Can't add your BJ card.
No, right, because it doesn't tap. But any tap to pay device, any tap to pay card can be added to your Google Wallet or your Apple Wallet, and you can tap to pay with all of those.
I got a digital debit card for my Venmo account.
Yeah.
And put it in my Apple Wallet.
Yeah.
So I don't even need a physical card.
I did it with my PayPal card.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Well, it makes it so much easier. Matter of fact, I even had this one gentleman came in. He was 84 years old. And I was telling him, tap to pay is far more. He goes, "I don't know. Where is it?" And, you know, he had a nice new phone.
And you'll see that logo
on
your card.
I found the wallet, and I put it out on there. And I said, "Now, all you got to do is go in here and put in your card information. And then from then on, you can now use tap to pay, and it's far more secure." He goes, "Well, my grandson was telling me I should do that." And he says, "Wait till I tell him that I figured it out. I'm sorry, I'm not giving you credit." I said, "I don't care.
I don't care.
Doesn't matter to me. Go ahead."
Yeah.
You know?
And what's beautiful about that is, particularly when I'm like out in the world, right, and it's winter, and I'm putting gas in the car. I've got gloves on because I'm severely arthritic, so I'm wearing gloves most of the time. I don't have to find my wallet, fumble out the card, none of that nonsense. I just tap my watch a couple of times, hold it up to the reader.
Yep.
I'm done.
What's interesting, though, is service fee. So if we take a Venmo payment, there's no service fee.
Right.
If we take a credit card on your Venmo account or debit card on your Venmo account, there's a service fee.
Right.
We used to take PayPal until they started adding a service fee.
Right.
So now we take Venmo, there's no service fee, except if they think it's a commercial transaction, then they put a service fee on it. And we've also, some people have come back and told us their bank added a service fee.
Oh.
Because they thought it was a commercial transaction.
It is a commercial transaction.
Yeah.
Okay.
But... okay, how do they know that?
To be clear.
They guess.
Well, if it comes from Mac Ave.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
And for the amount of it. $1,000 pizza party.
Right.
That's a heck of a pizza party.
That's still a commercial transaction. You paid for pizza from a commercial place.
But it implies that there could be charges at both ends.
Yes.
Which is annoying.
Yes.
So we found that out years ago.
The house always wins.
Yeah. Discover started offering those big cash back payments to customers. They raised our service fee by 3%.
Yes. You pay for that.
To give it to the end customer. Because Discover can't lose any money.
No, they're not going to lose the money.
So that's why.
That's why you don't take Discover anymore.
And we've had to start adding a credit card processing fee.
You have to. Like almost
every other store now.
Well, a lot of places. There's some restaurants have two prices.
Yep.
If you pay with cash versus paying with a debit card.
Yep.
Or a credit card.
It used to be you could absorb that, you know, 0.5%. But now that it's 3 or 4%.
Right. Half a percent was not a big deal.
And margins are so tight.
Right.
We've always said that New York State makes more money on a computer than we do.
Yeah, they do. Well, you back in the day when I sold computers, and I can say this now because I don't sell them anymore, we had a 40% margin.
Yeah, the glory days. The average computer system was 10 grand.
We could give you 20% off your computer, still make 20%.
Yeah. Computer, monitor, printer, software, 10 grand easy.
10 grand easy. Do the math.
Yeah.
That's, you know, that's $4,000 we can play with. We can certainly give you a decent discount.
Yeah.
Now, if it's 3%, you're lucky.
Yeah.
And that's eaten up by the credit card charges.
And most people buy a laptop, so computer monitors one piece.
Right.
Yeah. And hardly anyone prints anymore, so you don't buy a printer.
Right. It's become a very different world. Think about the other end sometimes when you're going to buy something. Maybe give a little to get a little, work with.
I've read someone saying that it should be mandatory to work food service or retail.
Or both,
yeah. Retail's bad, food service is worse.
I've worked both, and food service is way worse. Way worse. I am always extra polite to waiters and waitresses because I know what they go through. Believe me, been there, done that, do not want the T-shirt.
I had to go to the store on Labor Day, and I thanked the clerk for working on a holiday for me because I needed to buy this. Sure, no problem.
Right. Yeah, oh, yeah. Always be nice to the staff. I'm sorry we ran out of that. Okay, not your problem.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure you're not the buyer.
Can you check the back? We don't have a back, ma'am.
We don't have a back. What you see is what we get.
The mythical back, yep.
Yeah. All right, well, that's it. That music tells us that the very first show of our 37th year on the air is in the books. But do not despair. There's a whole lot more sound bites coming your way next week, and hopefully the week after, and the week after, and the week after for the next 37 years. But in the meantime, we want to thank each and every one of you who's made these 37 years possible. We don't do this without you. Believe me, you heard us sit here talking. It's way better when you call in, and you've done that for 37 years, and we are so, so very grateful to each and every one of you. Thank you very much. For Dave Enright, for Steve Ray, I'm Nick Francesco. And for Rob Linton and all the people at Jazz 90.1, and God bless them for putting us on the air. We will see you in just 166 hours. Be good to one another, would you, for Pete's sake?